Welcome to Torah Imecha Nafyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rachel Besser, and today we'll be studying Melachim Aleph, Perek Yud Zayin, Chapter 17. Since August 6, 1945, students of history and ethicists have been debating the question of whether or not it was correct for America to drop the atomic bomb. In a complete simplification of the issue, the atomic bomb killed massive numbers of civilians in Hiroshima and then Nagasaki, lives that didn't have to be lost. On the other hand, what was the alternative history if the bomb would not have been dropped? Was there another way to end the war? Would more lives have been lost otherwise? In Perek 17, Pasuk Aleph, we meet Eliyahu, who descends on the story like an angel. No background, no record of a nevuah already been given, no record of a rebuke to the king. He drops into our story like a whirlwind. And right away, he drops his atomic bomb. V'yomer Eliyahu ha-Tishbi mitoshvei Gilad el Achav. Eliyahu the Tishbi from the people who live in Gilad, on the other side of the Yarden, says to Achav, Chai Hashem, Elokei Yisrael, asher amadati lefanav, I swear by Hashem, the God of Yisrael, that I stood before him, im yehiye hashanim ha'ela tal umatar ki im lefi dvari. There will be no rain on this land except according to my word. Eliyahu declares a drought on the land. Malchut Yisrael was supposed to be a place where B'nai Yisrael could be prosperous and serve Hashem. Not only did that not happen, but now the king has instituted Baal worship into the country, an act that goes against every single principle of the Torah. The country under Yeravam and then Baasha went from bad to worse. Religiously, it was degenerating, but it was also materialistically degenerating. Ransacked by Sheshek of Egypt, hundreds of thousands of people killed by Aviyam ben Rechavam, and then cities taken by Ben-Hadad of Aram, who made a treaty with Asa, the king of Yehuda. One could draw the conclusion that leaving Hashem and creating this alternative religion, serving these golden calves, actually makes your country insecure and run down. But now comes the dynasty of Omri, and then Ahav, and the country prospers. And one of the ways they do this is by making treaties with other countries and bringing in their worship. No longer does Yisrael associate themselves with the monotheism of Avraham Avinu, and no longer are they associated at all with the Beit HaMikdash. Elio has seen this story play out before in the time of Shlomo, who already had the kingdom ripped away from him for this very sin. Malchut Yisrael can only be successful if they turn back to Hashem and realize that their material success comes only from Hashem. Immediately, Eliyahu declares a drought. The only way to deal with Achav is with a heavy blow, to prove to him definitively that material wealth and success in Eretz Yisrael comes only from Hashem. And therefore, Eliyahu stops his material success just like that. With a drought. When there is a drought, nobody will prosper and people will die. In his statement, Eliyahu uses a strange phrase, ki im lefi divari, except according to my word. The Meforshim debate what this means. Did Eliyahu actually mean that he is declaring a drought on his own and it will only end when he, Eliyahu, says that it will? Or was he speaking with the approval of Hashem, with Hashem telling him to do this, and he just doesn't mention that? Rabag and Rabbi Yossi Ibn Kaspi take this approach. Eliyahu was surely speaking with Hashem's prior approval, they argue, even though he didn't phrase it like that. Of course he was. How could Eliyahu have done this on his own? Radak and Abar Benel and take the other approach. Eliyahu acted, they say, out of zealousness, out of kana'ut. He cannot stand by and watch Achav destroy the country, attribute success to the Baal, and slowly, and actually surely, turn the country away from Hashem in a way that it will never be able to return. If he doesn't act quickly and forcefully, there is no turning back. Eliyahu declared the famine on his own, say these Mefarshim, and Hashem fulfilled it. Tzadik ozer v'Hashem akayim. When a tzadik says something, Hashem will fulfill that tzadik statement, because otherwise Hashem is taking away from the kavod of these tzadikim, and nobody will ever honor the Navi again. Also, Eliyahu was on a certain level that his words carried weight. After this first pasuk, we the readers are left stunned. What will happen now? How will Achav respond? Instead, the lens of the story turns to Eliyahu himself. And we see actually Hashem's response to Eliyahu, not Achav's. Hashem takes Eliyahu on a journey around the country. First, Hashem commands him to go to a place called Nachal Crete, a river, the river of Crete. And Hashem tells him in verse 4, Vayameha nachal tishteh, You'll drink from the river, Veta Orvim Tziviti L'chal Kalecha Sham, and I've commanded the ravens to support you there, to bring you food. And that's what the ravens do. They bring Eliyahu bread and meat every morning and every night, and he's supported this in this miraculous fashion by Hashem until in Pasuk Zion, verse 7, Vayhi miketz yamim, after a number of days, after a while, Vayivash hanachal, the water, the river, dries up, ki lo haya geshem ba'aretz, because it was a drought. And then Hashem sends Eliyahu to the north of the country, to the city of Tzarfat, which is in Sidon. So actually, he sends him out of the country to a different country, to Sidon. He is again told that he'll be sustained there, this time by a widow. When Eliyahu meets her, she's chopping wood. He asks her for sustenance, as Hashem told him that she would sustain him. And he says to her, Vayomer, Chin ali ma'at mayim bekli ve'eshteh, give me a little water in my vessel, and I'll drink it. Immediately, she gives it to him, and remember that there's a drought. This is an act of sacrifice on her part. However, after that, he asks her for bread, and she's not as happy. But Tomer, and she says to him, Chai Hashem Elokecha, I swear by Hashem your God, im yesh li ma'og, I don't have a lot of food. Ki imalei kaf kemach bakad u'ma'at shemen batzapachad, I only have a handful of flour in this jar and a little oil here, and here I am, you see, I'm chopping wood. I'm going to chop these woods. I'm going to make myself a little fire. I'm going to combine the bread and the oil for me and my son. I'm going to mix it together, make myself a little bread, and then we're going to eat it, and we're going to die. This is our last food. That's what you're asking me for. Eliyahu tells her not to worry. She should use her last flour and oil to make him bread. And then he says in verse 14, Ki ko amar Hashem Elokei Yisrael, so says Hashem, Kara kemach lo techale, v'tzapachat Hashemen lo techzar, ad yom titein Hashem geshen al pnei adama. This little jug of oil and this little vessel of flour are not going to run out until Hashem brings rain and you can sustain yourself in a different way. So you don't have to worry. Hashem is going to support you miraculously if you give me your last bread. Notice, by the way, the phrase, Ko Amar Hashem Elokei Yisrael, so says Hashem. This is typical of a Navi, and it's something that we didn't see before when Eliyahu declared the drought. Also notice that Eliyahu says until Hashem gives rain, not until he declares rain. She does what he asks, and the miracle happens. The flour and oil continue to produce and do not run out. Eliyahu then moves in with this widow, and she continues to support him. Sometime later, the woman's son gets very sick and dies. The widow turns to Eliyahu and blames him for her child's death in verse 18. Vatomer el Eliyahu, Ma li v'lach, ish Elokim? What's between us, man of God? Bate lailas kirtavoni ulamid et bini, you came here to bring up my sins and to kill my child? Eliyahu takes the child from her and brings him upstairs to his room. Then he calls out to Hashem in verse 20. Vayikra lo Hashem. He calls out, Vayomer, Hashem Elokai, Hashem my God, Hagam al ha'amana, Shiani mit goreima, Hare ota, Lamit abana. You're also going to be bad to this woman, this widow that I'm living with her, that you're going to kill her son? It's very interesting, Eliyahu's phraseology. He says, Hagam al ha'amana, also on this widow are you going to be evil to her. Who else is Eliyahu referring to when he's talking about Hashem being evil to someone? So Rashi says, is it not enough that you were cruel to Bnei Israel by stopping the rain? Are you also going to be cruel to this child? This supports the idea that it wasn't Eliyahu who decided to declare a drought. Actually, it was Hashem, and Eliyahu is almost protesting that Hashem brought a drought on the people. But to that David and Malbim, look at it in a totally different way. Hashem is asking Eliyahu, are you also going to punish this child as an extension of your punishment of me? And Metzudat David elaborates, you've sent me into exile for stopping the rain. You're sending me as a wanderer in the country. And now you're extending this punishment to the people who took me in. And clearly from this opinion, you see that Eliyahu is looking at this perek as Hashem sending him to Nachal Krit, Hashem sending him to the widow, as Hashem is trying to send him a negative message. Barbanel disagrees with both of these opinions, and he says that Eliyahu is comparing the death of this child to the death of the children of Chiel Beit Ha'eli, who we read about in the last parak, the one who built Yericho, and as he built, each child of his died. And he says that Eliyahu is questioning Hashem, why should children have to die for the sins of their parents in general? Also, this woman's child died. And we see that this also echoes what the woman says to Elio when she is angry at him for this child's death. She said, "Did you come to bring up my sin and kill my child?" In the sense that she blames the child's death for her own sin, but she blames Eliel for almost highlighting her sin by being in her house. So it's really interesting, based on which mephorash you look at, when Eliel says, "Hagam al ha'almana," are you also going to be cruel to this widow? Who is the other one that he is considering Hashem to have been cruel to? Is it Bnei Israel, like Rashi says? Is it himself, like Mitzudat Zevin and Malbim say? Or is it really a different story, Chiel Beit Ha'eli, like the Abarbanel? Anyway, Elio goes and he takes this boy up to his room. And then the Pasuk says, Veit Moded al Hayelet Shalosh Pamim, he lies down on this boy three times. Veikra el Hashem, he calls out to Hashem, Veyomer Hashem Elokai. Hashem, my God, tashav na nefesh hayelet hazeh al kirbo, bring back this child's soul to him. And Hashem listens in Pasuk Kaf Bet, Vayishma Hashem v'kol Eliyahu. Hashem listens to the voice of Eliyahu, v'tashav nefesh hayelet al kirbo v'yechi. The soul of the child comes back and the child lives. Eliyahu then returns the child, now alive, to his mother, who responds, Vatomer ha'isha el Eliyahu in Pasuk Kaf Dalid. She responds, she looks at Eliyahu and she says, Atazeh yadati. Now I certainly know that you are a man of God, Udvar Hashem b'ficha emet, and the word of Hashem in your mouth is true. How do we make sense of this parak as a whole? What's Hashem's message to Eliyahu in these three stories? The story of Nachal Crit, the story of the flour and oil not running out, and then the story of the resurrection of the child. What is the text trying to convey to Eliyahu, and what is it trying to convey to us as the reader? In his book, Reading Prophetic Narratives, Professor Uriel Simon proposes that you can read this parak in two ways. One he calls affirmation, and the other education. I'm going to present these two approaches, but not exactly using all the details that Uriel Simon does. Reading this parak as affirmation would look as follows. Malchut Yisrael was sinking so low, they were going to implode. Their destruction was imminent. Hashem had already tried sending this Ish Elokim from Yehudah, who did a miracle for them. Remember the splitting of the Mizbech, and it didn't work. At this point, you need someone to come and stand up for Hashem. No, it's not okay to introduce idolatry into Bnei Israel. It's not okay to corrupt them to a point that they can never recover from. Eliyahu did what a Navi is supposed to do, stand up for Hashem's honor. Someone had to drop the bomb. There was no alternative. And therefore, let's take a look at the details of the story and see how this affirmation works. Sending Eliyahu to Nachal Crit, how would the affirmation view read this? Hashem is protecting him. Hashem is protecting Eliyahu from Achav. The name Nachal Crit, you can say that Crit comes from the Shorish L'chrot Brit, Karet Brit, to make a treaty, reminding Eliyahu of the treaty that Bnei Israel broke that led them here. It's not Eliyahu's fault, it's their fault. And so when Hashem supports Eliyahu with the bread and meat brought by the raven, so Hashem is supporting Eliyahu in the same way he supported Bnei Israel in the Midbar with man. Hashem is going to make sure miraculously that Eliyahu's needs are cared for as he hides him from Achav and Izebel, who are for sure trying to kill him. Then, when the water runs out, Hashem sends Eliyahu to a widow. Another way that Hashem is protecting Eliyahu. And then he has Eliyahu ask the widow for her last slice of bread. Rabbi Benny Lau has a very interesting interpretation of this, and he says that Eliyahu needed to teach the widow the concept of hachnasat orchim. It's incredibly difficult to put aside our own material possessions and success for somebody else, to give it away in order to do the mitzvot. But Eliyahu had to teach the widow that that is exactly what she had to do. And that was the message he needed to teach Bnei Israel also. Put away your idolatry, even though you think it's bringing you material success. Stop these treaties with other countries and the intermarriage, even though, yes, you see that it does actually give you more money. But it's not the right thing, and it's actually not real prosperity. And therefore, he's telling the widow, and therefore telling Bnei Israel, that you shouldn't do things that are only material when Hashem tells you not to do them. And then we have the resurrection of the child, and this is the biggest mark of Hashem's affirmation of Eliyahu, allowing him to resurrect the dead. Overall, we would say that from this viewpoint, it's hard to be a person who stands against the world to support Hashem. Hashem supports Eliyahu during this process, giving him the strength he needs to stand firm in his position to stop the rain. Now let's look at this parak in a totally different way. That these three stories show that Hashem is educating Elio. Elio is a Navi who needs to, perhaps, stand up against the people. But at the same time, Elio needs to feel compassion for the people that he is hurting by bringing the drought. And therefore, Hashem sends him to Nachal Crete. And let's look at it now a different way. Hashem is sending Elio into exile. Although the people deserve the drought, and Hashem will therefore bring it, because it's not that they don't deserve it. They do deserve a drought. But Elio still needs to feel their pain. And really, he needs to bring the drought, but then turn to Hashem and ask him to forgive him. And therefore, the word Crete come from the short karet, to cut off. Elio is cut off from the people. He doesn't empathize with them. And therefore, Hashem, to show Elio this, cuts him off from the people. He supports Elio with bread and meat brought by ravens. But what's the symbolism? Ravens in Tehillim are cruel animals who eat their young. Hashem is sending a message to Elio that he is harming Hashem's children. And I heard from my teacher, Rav Yehuda Mali, that also the abundance of bread and meat, morning and night, bread and meat is a message to Elio to realize that Bnei Israel have nothing. There are two ways to show him this, either by taking things away from him or by giving him too much. And Elio was supposed to feel almost like it was too much bread and meat. Bnei Israel are losing their bread and meat. And therefore, when the river dries up, Elio goes through what Bnei Israel went through. Next point, sending Elio to the widow. Hashem is now reintegrating Elio into the world, but in a very specific way. The widow is a good person. She doesn't live in Israel, and she might not even be Jewish. But Elio sees that the famine is affecting lots of people, not just Achav, but people who even don't deserve to be hurt. Then Elio has to go and tell the widow to give him her last piece of bread. And he feels what it means to take from people and take in a way that's hurtful. And yes, that's what Hashem told him to do, but he needs to feel that pain of hurting Hashem's children the way Hashem is feeling that pain. And then with the resurrection of the child, finally, Elio davens for the innocent child and connects to the widow's pain. And only then does Hashem perform the miracle of resurrection through Eliyahu. So overall, we would say on this opinion, it's not enough for a Navi to stand against the people. He or she must at the same time feel the pain and pray on behalf of their people. This is a hard ask. It's not so simple to do this. If they would be forgiven, they wouldn't learn the lesson that they need to learn, and they would continue to move towards their own destruction. But Elio needed to almost follow the model of Moshe after Chet HaEgel, where he first davens to Hashem not to kill out the people, but then he goes down and smashes the luchot. A Navi needs to somehow walk that line, yell at the people, but also daven to Hashem to forgive them and kind of undo, ask Hashem to undo what he just did. And this is very difficult. What's the right way to read this perek? Which one? And maybe the truth lies somewhere in between. Yirmiyahu wrote the parak in a way that we really can understand it both ways. Elio is correct that the people needed this. And at the same time, Nevi'im must ask Hashem to limit the very punishment that they are bringing about and that they need and deserve. They must feel compassion. They must pray on behalf of the people. Thank you for studying together. Li'iloi Nishmat Frida Bat Moshe Eliyahu.